This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
Time for a little postgame. Brian Sexton along with Tony Boselli. And Jeff Longerman is headed to the Jaguars locker room. So we'll hear from the head coach first. All right, the outcome is the outcome. 27-3 Dolphins win this one. The number one storyline coming in was about the quarterbacks. What say you about Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne tonight and their performance?
Well, listen, Blaine Gabbert was 5 for 10, 19 yards with interception. Interception was not on him. Will Tofoe just dropped it, but right. Bounces up the air playing volleyball with it. But listen, when you're 5 for 10 with 19 yards, averaging 1.9 yards per attempt, that's not very good. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Right. I know there was drops, and I know, you know, Cecil Shorts wasn't there and Justin Blackman, no MJD, but
well,
sooner or later, I mean, you got to separate yourselves if you're either quarterback. I'm not sure either did. Chad Henne had a better night. He was playing against lesser competition, against the Dolphins backups. Next week, it'll be flip-flop is my guess. We're assuming that. So I think it's still undecided. I don't think you can make any judgments as far as one's leading the other or this is the guy going into the regular season.
Henne came on, and with the first team line for a series, moved the ball pretty well.
He did.
I mean, they got a field goal out of it. And so people are going to point and say Henny's just more efficient.
Oh, no, they're going to – I mean, the talk this week is going to be Chad Henne. I mean, Chad Henne won this battle during this game. And you can't argue that. His numbers are better. He looked better. But I don't think you can make that judgment after one preseason game based on the personnel is out there, based on who played against who. You have to let this thing play out. That's why you have four preseason games. That's why we're going to see we'll see what happens next week against the Jets. And then my guess is going into week three of the preseason, we'll have a good idea which quarterback is kind of taking control, taking the reins of that quarterback competition.
How about the offensive line in terms of giving the quarterbacks time to stand, read the field, and make the throw? You know, they draft Luke Jokel. He's going to be the right tackle. And we've talked all offseason about what that means for the interior of the offensive line. Well, what did you see from them tonight?
Well, they moved the pocket a lot, and so which takes a lot of pressure off the offensive line with all naked bootlegs and play-action pass. A couple times I thought Luke got beat a little bit, but they were on screen play. So it's a different mentality. You're trying to give some ground and let the defensive end get up the field. I think he can hold that block a little bit longer, but
right.
I'm not going to be overly critical of that on those type of plays. I don't think they ran the ball real well early. Now, this is a good front. I mean, Paul Soli is a Pro Bowl type player.
And
Randy Starks. I mean, those are two big men. They were one of the best against the run in yards per attempt last year in the NFL. So no easy task, no Brad Meester in there. So I think it was so-so. I know, listen, George Arnold's not going to be happy. They did get better as the game went on. I mean, they rushed for 126 yards for the night. Todman looked good. Denard Robinson had some nice runs. So that was a positive. It wasn't crazy pressure on the quarterback. So, you know, maybe a C-plus type of game. I mean, I'm not going to get
Hey, when you only score three points, no one's getting much better than that.
Listen, when you only score 3 points, I'll be the first to say as an offensive lineman, I think the football offensively starts with the offensive line. Obviously, the quarterback is the most important position. But when you can control the line of scrimmage, it allows you to do so many other things. And I think a great indicator, when you only score 3 points, I think you have to look at that offensive line. Did we control the line of scrimmage? Did we get movement? Did we help our quarterback out as far as not only protection, but allowing us to change things up with an effective run game? Again, I'll go back to it. It was average tonight, not great, but it's the first preseason game. I never want to jump to any judgments, you know, after one preseason game. There's so much left to be done, so much work to be done, and this is a young ball club, so we're going to have to let this thing play out, and we'll see where we are when we go into Kansas City.
Jaguars, 200 total yards, 107 passing, 93 on the ground. Now, from a defensive standpoint, Jaguars held the Dolphins to 182 yards, 127 through the air. My numbers may be a little bit delayed.
Actually, the Dolphins had 267.
Okay.
161 rushing, 106 on the ground.
Not updated.
The Jaguars ended up with having more yards, 289, 163 receiving, 126 on the ground. A lot of those come in late. I mean, not late. I mean, the rushing yards after the first quarter were pretty consistent. I thought they ran the ball very well. Matt Scott came in late. I thought he looked better than Kafka overall. You got to love that kid's strong arm and athletic ability. So we'll see what they do with on the back half of that battle for the third quarterback position. So
our broadcast is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Okay, so the Jaguars roll up 289 on offense, and they hold the Dolphins to 267. Obviously, we're talking about some muff punts that turned into points, turnovers
four
that turned
turnovers.
Into points. Yeah, four turnovers, really. And Gus Bradley's
points.
Gus Bradley's philosophy of it's all about the ball is going to be underscored, highlighted, any way you want to say it. It's going to be a focus this week.
It was all about giving up the ball tonight, and that's not winning football. And Gus, that's why he preaches it. That's why every head coach preaches turnovers and protecting the ball and getting turnovers. You know, we had the nice interception by Grotz. I mean, that was a highlight. I like how he played, recovered after giving up a little bit of a post, big play.
Right.
Didn't get down, came back, competed. I like him. I've liked him all camp. So that was the highlight of the night, but you got to protect the ball.
You know, you want to talk about the rookies. We talked about Jokel. We didn't see Cyprian. Grotz had the pick. Ace Sanders had a couple of nice returns, a couple of catches. Denard Robinson, a couple of nice runs, and Josh Evans made some tackles. So if you're looking at the contributions from Dave Caldwell's first rookie draft class, so far, so good.
Well, I'm going to be consistent, though, Brian. I didn't want to Gabbert or this offensive line or anything because it's the first preseason game, and I'm not going to get overly excited about the draft class. Now, as someone who loves this organization and someone who loves what they're doing and how they're doing it and what I've seen so far, very exciting. You would very good draft class so far, but it's so early. I want to see this thing play out, like I said earlier.
Now, all right, so
the positive is if these guys continue to get better like they are, wow, I mean, look out. I mean, you got a group of five guys that you just mentioned that with Josh Evans, I think that might even be six, that you start in the regular season, you say, we got a good rookie class that can help and contribute this year.
So you see 27-3, and you're going to be consistent. You're not going to let the score get to you too much. But at the same time, you're not going to get too excited about
it. No. Well, here's
the thing. So the first preseason game is just get it out of the way.
No, it's not get it out of the way. It's an evaluation period. It is critical for evaluation to see how guys handle the first time they're in this setting. Listen, you want to win. Don't get me wrong. Winning and losing is always important, but you want to see how they perform with the lights on against another jersey, with some Pro Bowl talent on the other side. Cameron Wake, we mentioned, going against Luke Jokel. That is invaluable film study and learning sessions. You can get on the board, teach from these things, what you did good, what you did wrong, how can we get better. You mentioned the score, 27-3. The biggest problem I have with that score, not so much the 27, that's turnovers. Muff punch, you can fix that. Those are all fixable. I don't like the three because there was no consistency. We didn't see them move the ball. We didn't see them string together positive plays after positive plays. The one time we started seeing it with Blaine Gabbert, an easy pass and catch, it should be an easy pass and catch, is bobbled, popped up by Will Taufoe, and it's interception. That's the concerning number when I look at the scoreboards is the three.
Jaguars ball in their preseason opener, 27-3 to the Miami Dolphins. Jeff Loggeman is en route to the Jaguars locker room, and of course we will have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. We'll also get you an injury update. Baptist Health System presents that, changing health care for good. Good news, again, from what we know, is the only injury of note, Russell Allen, the linebacker, left with an ankle injury. You know,
and we don't know how severe it is.
No, we don't. For the last 2 weeks throughout the course of training camp, you know, you're trying to manage guys. You've got some veterans that are taking some time off certain days. You're trying to keep healthy. In fact, Gus Bradley said on Wednesday that the injury report was only about 9 players from his perspective, and that's not a lot over the course of a training camp.
Well, it's such a different training camp. I mean, it's a different era of football. I mean, I think it's good. I'm jealous. I mean, giving guys days off, taking care of the veterans, going one a day. You know, the only thing you see a little bit now is some soft tissue injuries, and that's going to happen. I mean, you get back to camp, the volume and the intensity and the strain you're putting on those muscles, that happens. So overall, I agree with Gus. Very positive. He's being very smart. You have some older veterans. There's no reason to see Maurice Jones-Drew right now. I don't care how healthy he is. He's a 28-year-old running back. I still think he has a number of good years in him. But don't waste any of those carries in a game like this. Or even, I don't know if I'd play him next week even. I mean, I'd wait for the third preseason game. Brad Meester, I think you got to get in next week. It was nice. I think it was smart to hold him out right here. He's, you know, 14-year-old year guy, 36 years old. But next week, I expect to see him against the Jets.
And obviously, we're waiting to see when Justin Blackmon will practice. You know, he's a guy, had groin surgery, and it's complicated by the fact that he won't play the first 4 weeks of the season. So from a philosophical standpoint, what do you want to see from him over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I want to see him get on the field. I want to see him
operate.
Absolutely. I want to see him operate in the system. I want to see he looks so good to me as far as his he took care of his body. I mean, he has lost some weight. He looks fit. I'm excited. I think he'll play at a higher click, higher tempo. And he's got those 4 weeks off because he made a mistake. He's going to pay the price for that. But you got to get him some reps. And I think probably my guess is week three, week four of the preseason, because the last thing you want him to do is take all of training camp off and then have to sit out for another 4 weeks. So all of a sudden he comes back week five. Brian, that's, you know, about 10 weeks of not doing any football activity. Let's get a little bit of work out of him.
I'm looking at my list of guys who have been nicked up, injured. Another guy, we didn't see him tonight, Jonathan Cyprian, hamstring. You've obviously seen all the injuries over the course of your NFL career. How long do you wait on a guy like that?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy about hamstrings. Right. I played offensive line. We did not.
That's why I said you've seen him.
I've seen him. We didn't move fast enough for an offensive line to pull any hamstrings. I'm not even sure I have a hamstring. But for those fast guys outside, those are touchy ones because you have to be smart. You have to let that heal all the way. Because the last thing you want Jonathan Cyprian to do is come back too soon and let that be a lingering, nagging injury for 16 weeks. Get him all the way back healthy. There's plenty of time for this guy, this young guy, to get back in, get plenty of reps. He stuffed 3 preseason games. I know they're working him. He's working hard to get back out there. We're all guessing because they don't have to give injury reports right now. So we know no more than the people listening to us about where they are and how they're judging these injuries. My guess? I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing him back on the practice field this week a little bit. I don't think he plays. Probably the third preseason game.
All right, so we've covered quarterbacks. We've covered injuries. How about the pass rush? That was an area a year ago where the Jaguars struggled only 20 sacks.
Send Derek Marks. It was funny. I told Jeff before the game, that's a guy I want to watch because I think he's critical. I think you have to hope that you get 6 to 8 sacks out of him from that 3-tech position, which is the defensive tackle for the
Everyone. Geno Hayes. Geno Atkins.
Well, Geno Atkins is double digit. He got 10. Okay. I mean, that's a double digit guy. He's not at that level. Heck, if he is, what a great signing. I mean, Geno Atkins, one of the best defensive tackles in all of football. But when I saw it, I sent Derek Marks tonight, when he was single, when they singled up on him, he beat his man more times than not. That is very positive. What you can get out of Jason Babin, I think you're going to get those 8-9 sacks because he's going to play hard. He's a good pass rusher. You get those two guys working together, that's going to be good.
All right, Jeff Loggeman has Gus Bradley down in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian, here with head coach Gus Bradley. Gus, first preseason action, your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Like I just said in the locker room, there's a lot of good things, but there's some things we obviously got to get corrected. You know, the turnovers, we preach the ball all the time, and when you have that many turnovers in a game, it's difficult to win. So, you know, we got to clean those things up. The penalties, there's 7. There's some sloppiness, especially towards the end of the game. We got to take that out of our game, too. So I think, you know, the big emphasis will be take those things out of our game, become more of a disciplined team, but not lose fact there were some good things.
One thing that will obviously receive a lot of scrutiny, the quarterbacks, because it's a battle. You talk about competition. Obviously, you haven't had a chance to look at the film. You will, I'm sure, tonight, tomorrow. Your thoughts, though, just from seeing it with your own eyes?
Well, you know, the first 2 drives for Blaine, you know, we didn't move the ball like we had hoped. But then the 3rd drive, I thought he did a nice job. And he got, you know, moved the ball, had some runs mixed in there, and then it was unfortunate that we had the turnover. So just when you're starting to get your rhythm as a quarterback, you know, at times those things take place. So, I mean, the competition is there. You know, Chad, he got in there, and I think his first drive was 3-and-out, and then he had a little bit of a drive. So, you know, we just keep growing as a team. And, you know, we'll keep talking about the positives and get them a chance. It's the first time that we've had an opportunity to go against a different colored jersey. And, you know, from this opportunity, there'll be a lot of growth.
One thing that I think stood out truly as a positive, send Derek Marks early in that ball game appeared to be winning a lot of one-on-one pass rush opportunities.
Well, we really challenged our front, the defensive line. You know, I think I mentioned before that the first couple games here, we're going to see just, you know, where our 4-man rush is. We didn't bring much pressure today, and there's a reason for that. We really wanted to check out our rush. And to see those bright spots like that in the beginning of the game, that was great.
The return game, there was a couple flashes, even though you had the muffs, but there was a couple flashes. Ace Sanders had a flash. Tobias Palmer had a flash. So good and bad.
That's it. And you know, we've got some young players on this team, and they'll learn. And, you know, I think you can talk about it, you can preach it, but until they experience it, you know, that's why I say this is a great opportunity for those guys. They say, you know, they came up already to me and say, Gus, I know what you mean now. I know what you mean. We practiced it, but when it happens in that time, you don't realize it and just how fast things are. So we'll grow from this. We will definitely grow from this.
And typically the biggest improvement is preseason game one to preseason game two. So I'm sure you're anxious to go to New York and take another test.
Well, you know what? I'm anxious for tomorrow. You know, I'm anxious for tomorrow to clean up these things and really take a look at it on tape. And I think, you know, our players will respond. You know, I have no doubt about it. They'll see the things on tape. And, you know, the big thing will be to gain improvement through the week.
Injuries, the only one that appeared to happen in the game was Russell Allen. Is he okay?
Yeah, the first play of the game. First play of the game, he twisted his ankle. And then he played on it, you know, in a preseason game. And, it you know, it was a classic demonstration of what he's all about. But, yeah, I'm sure we got some bumps and bruises and things like that. I haven't seen the training report yet. But we'll take a look at it. He'll receive treatment tonight and tomorrow, and we'll move on.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's Gus Bradley. And if Russell Allen sprained his ankle in the first play of the game and then played, remember he made that great play on the sideline here in breaking up a pass, Tony.
Yeah, good toughness. Gus mentioned it. And I like Gus's mentality there. Focus on the positive with the young team.
All right, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. We're back with a Bud Light player of the game after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
All right, first one in the books, 27-3. Miami takes it. Jaguars on the road next Saturday night in New York to face the Jets. Let's check in with Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room. He's got quarterback Blaine Gabbert.
Thank you, Brian. Blaine, obviously the position is a competition. Head coach has said as much, and the first outing was tonight. Your thoughts on your performance?
We had one good drive that ended in an unfortunate turnover, but once we got our rhythm, we started to move the ball, but we definitely would like to come away with more points than we did tonight.
Interesting talking to the head coach, and I asked him, I said, you know, after you have the first game, you know, aren't you anxious to get, you know, to the next game? Mm-hmm. You know, and his response was, I'm anxious for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really kind of the theme, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and we're anxious for tomorrow just because we can watch the film, learn from it, because all the mistakes we did make were in our control. They're all unforced errors, communication errors, unfortunate turnovers in some pretty tough situations, but at the same time, we're going to learn from it and move on and get better from it.
How much does it impact you and Chad when there's not a Cecil Shorts, there's not a Justin Blackmon, you know, Brad Meester was held out tonight, and you don't have Maurice Jones-Drew? Is it harder to find a rhythm when you're missing some of the guys you typically would throw to for both you and Chad?
Well, at the same time, it just gives opportunities for younger guys to step up. And not having Mojo, not having Brad, not having Justin and Cecil, it's not an ideal situation for anybody, but at the same time, it's an opportunity for the young guys to step up, make plays, and show that they can play on this football team.
All right, thank you, Blaine.
Yep, thanks, Jeff.
All right, that's Blaine Gabbert. And much like Gus Bradley when he was speaking with Jeff, it sounds like they're eager to get back on the practice field. I mean, everyone knew that there were going to be hiccups and bumps and stubbing your toe. I mean, however you want to paraphrase it, the reality of it is that this is a football team that's on message with their head coach right now. They know that they've got to get better every day, every play.
Oh, they are on message. But listening to Blaine, you could sense a little bit of frustration there. I mean, he understands the situation. He understands, you know, what the voices or the noise is around and the pressure. And there's no one who wants to be as good or play better than Blaine Gabbert himself. I mean, he wants this job. He wants to succeed. And when you don't have your guys out there, the right thing to say is, hey, we're going to play with the guys we have. But you could sense a little bit of frustration in his voice, I thought at least.
Go back down to the locker room. Chad Henne is with Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Chad, quarterback competition, how do you feel about your performance tonight?
I thought we did some good things. Most disappointing is not getting in the end zone and scoring a touchdown. We were down there a couple times. We had a turnover, didn't convert on some of the third downs. But, you know, there was some good things and there were some bad things. But we'll evaluate it tomorrow in the film.
How is the competition? I mean, you and Blaine are friends in the meeting rooms together every day. You guys went to Minnesota together. How does that work?
It's tough, but, you know, if you put your ego aside and just go out there and try to, you know, be the best teammate and try to help the team win, you just put it aside. And, you know, I try to help Blaine out as much as I can, and he helps me out. And it's a really good relationship. And I always take it back to with Chad Pennington and when we were in Miami, and I learned a lot from him, and I try to just bring that to here.
Have the coaches given you any indication what happens next week in New York as far as play time?
No, I mean, we'll evaluate the film, and we'll come out tomorrow, go through our walkthrough, keep competing like we always do, and show them which guy's going to step up and make some plays. And, you know, whatever they decide, we're just going to go ahead and keep going at it.
I asked Blaine this question. How difficult is it when neither one of you have, you know, a Justin Blackman, a Cecil Shorts over the last few days, and no Maurice Jones-Drew, no Brad Meester in the first game action?
Yeah, I mean, even though they're out, I think it's a great opportunity for the young guys to step up. Mike Brown, Ace Sanders out there making some plays, and, you know, Denard back there trying to make a run for it, and Todman made some runs. So it's you're never going to go through a season without injured players, so it's a good opportunity for these guys to show what they can do and step into that role.
Thank you, Chad.
Sure, thank you.
All right, Jeff, thanks. You know, I listened closely, and I didn't hear any frustration there on Chad Henne's part.
No, I think he...
The pressure's not on him like it is.
It isn't. I mean, that's Brian, that's perfect. You're exactly right. I mean, here's a guy that if you ask the average person, and probably he gets a sense of everyone in the organization, everyone, I don't know if they're rooting for Blaine, but he was the 10th pick overall. He was the high draft pick. That's who they invested money in, and I think that's the guy they're hoping can be the franchise quarterback. Here comes in Chad Henne. He was that guy in Miami. It didn't work out there, so he comes in here, second chance. Is brought in to be the backup, and so he understands his role being brought in here to be that guy, but now he's a chance to fight for the starting job, maybe a little looser, maybe a little freer, and say, hey, listen, I'm going to go compete and let the chips fall where they may.
All right, before we hand it off to J.P. Shadrick and Marco Coleman for the postgame show, and they'll take it from here, you know, all throughout the pregame, J.P. had three big stories. So what are three big stories, what are three takeaways from this ball game? The first is obviously the quarterback decision is no closer to being made after tonight's ball game.
That's number one. I mean, that is the story. That's the story we talked about when we came into camp.
Right.
And that is the story. Actually, that's the story we talked about when the season was over last
year. Without
a doubt. It hasn't changed.
Second one would be turnovers. It's all about the ball.
Yes.
Jaguars
agreed.
Minus three tonight. You can't get it done if you don't. And the third would be what?
I would say the third would be how the young guys played.
Okay.
In a positive manner. I thought it was outstanding, and I'm not going to jump for joy and say, oh, we got the greatest draft class in the history of the NFL, but what a great start. That combined with a good free agent signing so far by what we've seen in Cinderic Marks. So those would be the third. Just the new guys, the new faces. We talked about the three big stories, all about the newness of what's going on here. The new faces, I thought, for the most part, performed very well.
All right, time for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light Music. First, making music history all summer long. Here we go, and we go to the second quarter. And Dwayne Grotz, the third-round pick, the long guy with the long arms and that prototypical body that Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell were looking for to play Bradley's defensive press scheme, comes up with the first interception of his NFL career. Tight end right, I formation, first and 10. At the Jags 48-yard line, 2:20, clock running here, first half. Matt Moore, the quarterback for Miami, takes the snap, play action, under pressure, steps, turns, and throws, and this one is intercepted! Picked off, going back the other way. Grotz has got it at the 50-yard line and is turned around at the 48. The rookie from UConn makes a nice play. You know, and the secondary this season is going to look young. It's going to look young, but I would guess by the end of the year it might look better.
They're gonna look young. You know why? Because they are young.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. So you're gonna have Jonathan Cyprian, and you're gonna have Dwayne Grotz for sure.
Well, Josh Evans, listen, Lowry's gonna be your starter, but I gotta believe Josh Evans is gonna play some. And then don't forget about Mike Harris is probably gonna be your starting nickel, or at least is fighting with Trufant for that position. He's only a second year player, and so they're gonna be very young. They're gonna be young everywhere. This is a young ball club, and there's gonna be a lot of guys fighting for jobs. And listen. We have 90 guys on the roster right now. What was it, 45 new faces?
Yeah, 47.
47 new faces. I would guess there's 3 to 5 faces on other NFL teams that will be on this team as well.
That might be low.
It might be.
It might even be more. We'll find out. Hey, it was great to have you. We're looking forward to a great season.
I tell you what,
nice
run here. I mean, we lost the game, and it wasn't how we all wanted to turn out tonight, but what a great time I had. Loved it, and I think the best is yet to come as far as this football team. We're going to have a lot of fun, and people listening, tune in because it's going to be an entertaining season.
Absolutely. So for our entire broadcast crew, Brent Martineau on the sidelines, Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman. Of course, we don't even get on the air without Scott Kushner and Joe Fortunato, the best team in terms of producing and engineering a broadcast in the NFL. Really appreciate that. We're going to pass it off right now. The competition in the booth is fierce, folks. We're just going to tell you that right now. We're going to send it down to JP and Marco and another great support system. Guys, it is all yours. We'll sign it off. They're back on the other side of this commercial timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
And welcome back to Jaguars postgame. The unhappy final tonight, 27-3, the Miami Dolphins over the Jacksonville Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick with you in the Hanania studio. Marco Coleman is with us.
Yes, sir.
Boy, a lot of things to digest tonight, Marco. It was one of those nights for the Jaguars offense. You saw all four quarterbacks in this game mm-hmm. with varying degrees of success. Well, the one degree of success you really look at is the scoreboard, and no touchdowns tonight
no
for the offense,
TDs.
Marco.
No TDs. But you saw some movement. I thought Henny did a good job of moving the ball. When Gabbert was in there, they had the one drive. Can't completely blame the turnover on him. Could have threw the ball a little softer out there, but ultimately it was a turnover.
He's
but that was
make
a good
the catch,
drive.
Though. I mean, he's a veteran fullback.
Yeah, you know, second-year guy, I believe.
He's been around for a couple of years. Yeah, a couple of years.
Well, you know, but it was, you know, he's a fullback. I mean, you don't zing the ball out to the fullback, though. You know what I mean? It's, you know, but like I said, I think there's some blame there between the two that can be shared for that turnover, actually. But then, you know, the other guys, Scott, Kafka, didn't do a whole lot moving the ball. But, you know, the real competition is right there between Henny and Gabbert. And I would say between the two, no decisive, you know, guy that really lit the thing up, I would say. You know, Henny came in at a time where, you know, he had the 2-minute drill, so he got more passes.
Sure.
Passes in. So,
sure.
You know, but, you know, overall, I'll say both guys pretty much did okay. You know, nothing spectacular. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's might be overselling it a little bit. Okay, right?
Okay.
I mean, tough ending. Yeah. Hold your ears now. Four turnovers, two muff punts, Tobias Palmer, Jamal Miles, two interceptions, Gabbert and Kafka, -3 turnover ratio tonight. That'll never work.
Not at all. You figure that's going to be the topic of the discussion, I'm sure, at the next meeting. Because that was the issues last season. Turn the ball over, making a mistake. The penalties. I mean, these came from the veterans. Those penalties from, who was it that had the penalties? It was Ball and Lowry that led to that first score.
That's right.
You know, two guys that you're going to be depending on, you know, in crunch time here when the season really starts. You know, those guys are going to have to correct that. So, you know, it's the first preseason game. You know, everybody's knocking off some rust. Get this behind us and go ahead and get ready for the next one.
Marco, are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
It's time now for our Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game.
Yes,
look out for the lightning and thunder. Okay, number one, Henny or Gabbert?
Too early to say. Too soon.
Fence rider. Pick a side.
Well, you know what? It's too early to say because they both leave you on the fence. Nobody's just taking this thing and taking charge.
All right. Great analysis. Best rookie.
Ace Sanders, hands down. You know what I mean? He's just electrifying. You know, he's really good today, and he's been consistent all camp. Right now, I would say he is the best rookie that they got out there.
Not a lot to choose from, you would think, tonight, but a hidden gem in this game.
A hidden gem, I would say, it was probably hard to find him, but I saw him. That was Blake. You know, number 38, first guy down on the kickoffs, first guy down there on those punts. Did a good job on special teams and blocking. I mean, I'm looking for him to be take over where Montel Owens was for the team, being that special teams demon.
Okay, there you have it. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. Marco Coleman digging deep for Antoine Blake.
My man.
At the very end there. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll come back in just a moment. The Sexton Summary is next. A 27-3 final Miami over Jacksonville in the first preseason game of 2013. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Back inside the Hanania studio in Everbank Field, the unhappy final tonight, Miami 27, Jacksonville 3. Tough start for the Jags to open the 2013 preseason. Only put up 3 points. A Josh Scobie field goal was the only scoring tonight. Yates missed a field goal. The Jags were bogged down inside the 5 one time before that Scobie kick. Tough night for the Jags offense. All 4 quarterbacks saw time tonight. And Marco Coleman told us earlier there's really no move forward in that quarterback position.
Neck and neck.
Okay, indeed. Neck and neck from Marco. We'll hear more from Marco in just a moment. It's time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. Look at the highlights of tonight's game. And well, there weren't many for the Jags. We start off with Miami. It was Blaine Gabbert's game to start off with tonight. And he had a first couple of drives. Had the whole first quarter, in fact. Didn't get a lot done. Had an interception. Near the end of the first quarter, though, Ryan Tannehill, who had been under fire in South Florida this week after a couple of tough practices, finally got the Dolphins on the board to a nice pass to Keller.
There's the snap, and Tannehill's looking to his left. Now running back to the right. Looking, turns and throws it. This one will be caught. Touchdown, Miami. Chris Krasinski got beat by Dustin Keller. Turned around in the end zone, and the Dolphins grab the early 6-0 lead.
And that's hard to do as...
Yep, that was the first touchdown. Keller, 22 yards, 3:38 left in the first quarter. Not long after that, the Dolphins, again, this time drove 5 plays, 47 yards, and Gray plunges in from 1 yard.
Takes the snap, hands it off to Gray, running over the right side, and he's in the end zone for a Miami touchdown. 13-0, Dolphins.
Extra point made it 14-0, Sturgis with the kick. And then Chad Henne took the controls in the second quarter for the Jags and had a decent drive, get the Jags down inside the 5-yard line. And it appeared that Gus Bradley wanted to go for it. A Miami timeout, changed his mind. Josh Scobie with a field goal.
There's the snap, the placement, kicked from 23 yards, he's up and good. So the Jaguars get on the board with 5:11 to play.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was one of the lone highlights tonight for the Jags. It was 14-3 at that point. A little later in that second quarter, a little flash from one of the rookies on the defensive side stopped a Miami drive, Dwayne Grotz.
Matt Moore, the quarterback for Miami, takes the snap, play action, under pressure, steps, turns, and throws, and this one is intercepted, picked off, going back the other way. Grotz has got it at the 50-yard line and is turned around at the 48. The rookie from UConn makes a nice play.
That was a nice play indeed, but the Jaguars unable to do anything with it. 14-3 the score, and then the third quarter came along, and the turnovers continued. This time, it was a muffed punt by Tobias Palmer.
Here's a bit of a knuckleball. This one fielded, and it's dropped! The ball's on the field, and it's being batted around. The Dolphins appear to have recovered at the Jacksonville 30-yard line.
A pair of field goals by Sturgis, one from 58 yards. And the Dolphins led 17-3 at that point in the third quarter. And then early in the fourth, 11:46 remaining in the game, Sturgis with another field goal as well of 36. It made it 20-3 late in the game. It was Gray with another 1-yard touchdown plunge for the Dolphins.
Second and goal from inside the 2-yard line. Here's Gray, and he is into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Couple of touchdowns for Gray tonight. That was the final, 27-3. The Dolphins are now 1-1 in the preseason. Jaguars are 0-1. That was their first action in 2013. And that was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Boy, a lot to talk about tonight, and it's not all happy in the Jaguars postgame. We'll take a short timeout and come back more with Marco Coleman. Right after this timeout, it's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. The unhappy final this evening, Miami 27, Jacksonville 3, in the preseason opener for the Jaguars. A few stats as we run through the final individual stats tonight. Matt Scott was 6 of 13 passing. He came in late in the game, of course. Kafka, 4 of 8. Chad Henne, 8 for 11, 87 yards. Blaine Gabbert, of course, 5 for 10, 19 yards tonight. The battle ensues. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman is in the Hannania studio with us tonight.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterbacks are the big story. We've covered that.
For sure.
We covered it for 3 hours in pregame tonight and during the game and after the game. Let's get to some other positions
here.
Yeah,
you know, we're the preseason battles, man. Absolutely. Yeah, we're people really trying to get something going. How about that?
That's a great idea. Wide receivers, you didn't have Cecil Shorts the third. There is a little something brewing apparently in the post-game press conferences and in the open locker room that Justin Blackmon had words with a Dolphins player tonight. And from reports that we've seen, Maurice Jones-Drew told him to go to the locker room. They handled that. That might have been a little bit of the delay before Gus Bradley spoke to us on the Jaguars.
Got a little too much energy. He needs to put on some pads.
Either way, we'll find out the story on that, I'm sure, tomorrow in open locker room. those two guys were out.
Okay.
So it was Mike Brown, it was A. Sanders, a lot of young players tonight had some solid work.
Yeah, well, you know, but as far as with the wide receivers, you know, a couple of those guys kind of, they didn't help themselves. You know, you figure the muff punts that those guys had, that, you know, they were all backup wide receivers. You see these guys, there are opportunities for those guys are going to be on special teams. Because you figure the depth is there for the most part. I think, you know, Brown is definitely going to be one of the guys. Ace is going to be one of the guys. Blackmon, when he comes back, you got Shorts. So now, you know, for guys like Palmer, you know, these guys are going to have to make some ways on the special teams. Palmer comes down, kind of made the tackle on the sideline on the one punt coverage, kind of gave it. I don't know if he was the giver or the receiver on that
one. Put
him
out of bounds, at least.
But, I mean, these are the things that those guys are going to have to do better in order to make the team. You know, and but they're going to get better. All these guys are young. Even when we talk about A. Sanders and we talk about Brown, these guys, they're young, they're going to get better. And Cecil Shorts, even. I mean, we talk about him as if he's a wily veteran. We got to see if he can put together two seasons, actually. You know, had a really good campaign as a rookie. Let's see if he can continue that. He's been doing well here in the camp, but the real bullets haven't actually started flying yet. Then that's going to be, of course, the proof in the pudding. So, at least in the wide receiver position, I didn't see any other wide receivers from those, aside from those front line guys, that really did some things significantly to set themselves apart as to who's going to be the next guy to earn a spot on the roster.
Defensively, let's start on the line. We talked a lot tonight about Sendarek Marks before the game, and he showed off right away. Out of the gate, had a sack, got through a double team, broke through the line a couple of times, and really lived up to advanced billing tonight.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the one that's going to add the grit. I mean, something that was really missing, I think, on that defensive line last season. But you look at guys that I thought did a pretty stand-up job, De'Anthony Smith. I mean, here he is. He's a third-team guy. He was active, getting down the field, making tackles down the field. This guy, not only did he get the sack, was showing up in the backfield, but, you know, I noticed his energy when the passes were thrown down the field. He was, you know, chasing that ball. He was really getting after it. Another guy I thought, you know, Pinnell, 96. He was pretty active also. I mean, these guys are fighting to get a roster spot, you know, and I think today – they did a pretty good job to help themselves with their activity.
Guy like Leroy Reynolds had a solid night, the Virginia linebacker. He's really had a good camp, and over the last week started to stand out and was around the ball.
Yeah, in special teams. I mean, he's another guy that he's going to make the team on the special team. But he's the more reps he's going to get, he's going to get a lot of reps over the course of this this preseason, because you figure Paz is going to be sitting down. Russell, you see, he twisted his ankle, so he's going to probably be sitting down. So you figure they got to find some backups for these guys. And I think Leroy is going to be – he looks to, for me, to be that front-running guy, to be the next man to come in if one of those guys go down. So this preseason is going to be really important for him to take that next step to be a solid backup, you know, and the special teams too. So I like him also. That's my guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
Good
I like,
to hear.
Yeah, I like him. He's all over the place. I like him.
This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. More Jaguars postgame coming up next on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Back in the Hanania studio, the unhappy final tonight, Miami 27, Jacksonville 3. J.P. Shadrick with you, Marco Coleman alongside. We got a few minutes left before the end of network coverage tonight. Marco, we have failed to mention the number 2 overall pick, Luke Joku. What'd you like?
Big money. Shoot, man. I thought he was pretty solid. I mean, I saw Cameron Wake get one rush on him. He didn't see a lot of Cameron Wake, but I would say, you know, full game of it, he had a rush where it kind of you know, show Joker, hey, welcome to the NFL type of play. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I thought he was pretty solid. He was where he was supposed to be. And it wasn't a big rushing day. But when you get a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew back there, he's going to make that whole offensive line look a lot better. You know, so I thought he was solid. You know, it wasn't a really hefty task for him, I would say, this evening. But for who he went against, it's still NFL. I thought he did pretty well for his first time out there.
Another guy I wanted to point out real quick, Jordan Todman, running back. Early in this game, I guess he started the game tonight because all the other running backs are out. But he had some nice looks tonight, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It was a they kind of got him going when Denard Robinson had a nice play. Yep. And then Ace came and had a nice play. Then they handed it off to Todman, and he finally kind of took a burst in there. Because early on, he seemed a little tentative running up in there. And I don't know if it was some little butterflies, but now he's the guy, you know, coming and starting and everything. But after a couple of those plays, I think he said, hey, man, I can play. These guys, these young guys coming out, they're doing it. And then all of a sudden, I mean, he looked different after a couple of big plays from some other guys. In, you know, when he went on his next touch, you know, so I thought he was okay. You know, he figures it's about MJD, baby.
That's right. Got to get him back. He's healthy. Back. Just didn't practice.
Just think about it. You figure you got Blackman, Shorts, MJD out. I mean, it's the possibilities of how this offense could look. You know, and you still got Ace, still got Cecil Shorts. Man, I mean, it can be a really tough Sundays. For some defenses, that's for sure.
Today it was coulda, woulda, shoulda, though. None of those guys in, and a 27-3 loss to the Miami Dolphins. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back with a couple of scores from around the league. We'll hear again from Marco before the end of the program. It's Jaguars postgame. Back with more after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by GEICO. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from GEICO is not. Visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local GEICO office today. 27-3, the final score here. Miami over Jacksonville in the first preseason game for the Jags this year. Other scores from the National Football League tonight. Detroit over the New York Jets, 26-17. Sanchez threw an opening drive pick six and then actually played pretty well after that. It was about 10 of 13 tonight, over 100 yards passing. Geno Smith, 5 of 6, but left the game, turned his ankle. Not sure the severity of that. Other finals tonight, New England beat Philly 31-22. And as you would imagine, Tom Brady very solid in his early work tonight. The Panthers defeated the Bears tonight 24-17. Other finals in the league, Arizona shuts out Green Bay at Lambeau 17-0 the final. A Harrell for Green Bay, the backup comes in 12 of 19. Solid night for him. Houston with a big win tonight over Minnesota, 27-13. And another final, just final, in New Orleans. The Saints come back and beat the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, 17-13. And they're at halftime at the Coliseum in Oakland, Dallas 10 and Oakland 6. Another game tomorrow, Giants at Pittsburgh. And on Sunday afternoon, Buffalo at Indy. We're back in just a moment with a final thought from Marco Coleman. It's an unhappy final, 27-3 Miami over Jacksonville. We're back with more Jaguars postgame right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame tonight, the unhappy final, 27-3 Miami all over Jacksonville. Touchdowns in the first, second, and fourth quarter for the Dolphins tonight. The Jags lone scoring a Scobie field goal in the second. And four Jaguars turnovers tonight, two muff punts, two interceptions. That kind of just set it all tonight, Marco.
Yeah, that's the thing that has to improve from this week to next week. I'm sure it'll be a big concentration on getting that turnover margin going back the other way and more in favor to other Jaguars. And also, you know, getting in the end zone. You know, it's time to score some points. I mean, I know you got some key players out offensively, but those quarterbacks, somebody's got to step up and show that they can get into the end zone. I think those are some things that we should look to see some improvement on come next week.
We'll be interested to hear what Gus Bradley says about the quarterback competition this week and who gets what time at MetLife Stadium next week.
Especially with more, you know, the veterans being out a little bit longer. And I think that would be a little bit more of an even competition because Henny came in and he got the second team defense with a starting offensive line. So, yeah, pass rush may not have been as tough as it was for Gabbert You know, even had defensive backs that weren't as good as what Gabbert's seen. So I think the playing field will be a little bit more even when we're starting to compare what one quarterback did versus the other when they have a pretty much the same, a lot more similar competition to stack them up against, I think.
The New York Jets, the opponent next week at MetLife Stadium. It is a 7:30 kickoff. We'll go on air on the network at 6:30 with Jaguars pregame. There are quarterback issues for the Jets, as everybody
white
in the country
issues
knows.
Yeah. They got issues.
Well, a couple of teams with some issues, it sounds like, coming up next week. Sanchez started that game tonight. Smith rolled his ankle. Geno Smith did. McElroy got a lot of time late. So there'll be a lot of quarterbacks on the field, safe to say, next week. Marco, good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Marco Coleman on Jaguars postgame. That's it for tonight. We'll join you at 6:30 on the network next week. Saturday, it's a 7:30 kick at MetLife Stadium as the Jaguars go on the road for the first time in 2013 in the preseason. We'll be back the next week for Philly and then finish the preseason on the road in Atlanta. And then the opening regular season game here at Everbank Field, September 8th, I guess, is the date for that, against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see the top two draft picks go at it.
All right.
In the regular season opener. 27-3, the final score tonight, as the Dolphins jump on the Jags early. The Jaguars unable to overcome the turnover bug tonight. Four turnovers, two muff punts, two interceptions, and the story will remain under center for the Jags moving forward. We'll hear from the locker room again tomorrow. The Jags back at it on Saturday in New York. Until then, for everybody involved, this is JP Shadrick, and this is the Jaguars Radio Network.